This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, Monday morning, the 25th of February in the year 2019. Couple of emails and messages we've been getting in this morning. First from Lubabalo, who always has something interesting to add, whether it's criticism or compliments. This morning, Lubabalo agreeing with Ben. I am Xhosa. I went to the mountains. Culture is a bit stupid. That's what Lubabalo says this morning. So support for Ben. All right. It is a brand new week. There is lots going on. And I don't know if you're as interested as I am in American politics, but one of our regular correspondents, someone who's absolutely at the opposite end of Trump in terms of their politics, is our friend Debbie Droke. She lives in Washington. I'm going to check in with her quickly and see what she's up to because I haven't spoken to her for a while. And Washington, D.C. is always exciting, especially when the liberals and the conservatives are arguing with each other all the time. Hey, Deb, what's up?
Hey, how is everybody?
We're all right. We're good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I mean, it's kind of exciting now that the House is full of Democrats, right?
Oh, you're excited. By the way, how's your government shutdown going? Everything all right?
Oh, my God. Well, that was so stupid that the president, well, I don't even hate calling him the president, that man named Trump was using the government workers as hostages.
Hold on, you know, so he could Debbie, just hold on.
Damn wall.
Hold on a second. So are you an American citizen?
I am an American citizen.
So Donald Trump is your president.
Yeah, well, he is. He is my president. That's true. But he doesn't. I don't have to like it. I don't have to like it at all. So, but that's what's being. That's what's, you know, when you're an American, you can. You have the freedom to say that.
Yeah,
freedom
that's
of
true.
Speech. So,
all right.
Yeah. So.
So now that you got,
just call him, as you know, I call him that son of a bitch.
So now that you've got some Dems in the House, are you happy? You got Nancy Pelosi running things there, and she's
doing a super job.
Have you bumped into Nancy Pelosi in Washington? She's been around a long time.
You know, I have been in her presence, but we've never really met personally. But I'll tell you, she's one hell of a politician, and she has those Dems in shape, and she has the utmost, Trump has the utmost respect for her. He always has names for everyone, but you notice he never calls her a name. He calls her Nancy. So
my friend Nancy.
He does respect her.
Yeah, he does. He's nice enough to her.
Does.
First of all, how are you and Bill? I mean, what are you guys up to lately? I hear Bill in the background there. Is he up still?
Yeah. Bill's right here. Say hi, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hello.
Well, there we go.
You know what? He's retired now. So I'm in my office because, you know, I work virtual. And I always know when he's got on the TV because I hear him. That son of a bitch. I can't believe, you know, he's gotten lower than low. So he's kind of like my cheerleader.
If you know, you're surprised by that.
Well, I am because I know you used to be a Republican. And
Never. Maybe at the very, very beginning of his military career. But no, his parents were Democrats. And, you know,
I think you've poisoned him. I think you've poisoned him against the Republicans, Debbie.
Oh, jeez. Well, how could not be poisoned? You know, they've sold their souls to this guy. I think some of them are coming around. But it's just, it's like a circus here. You know, you think, how can anybody go lower than low? And the guy is Teflon. And every day there's something new coming up. And you just become kind of like immune to it. You're kind of desensitized to his shenanigans. So I don't know what the media is going to even talk about when he's ever out of office.
Yeah, what are you guys talking about at the moment? What's in the news besides Donald Trump?
The Academy Awards.
It's Oscars. Yeah.
We're running this morning, and Sia's like, you know, I said, okay, we go late. I go, yeah, don't call me now because I don't know who made Best Picture because that was like a big thing. So Green Book won.
Uh-huh.
Best Picture. Everyone thought Star is Born was going to win.
Yeah.
And Lady Gaga, I think, got the best song, you know, for the... No, she didn't get Best Actor. I can't remember who got Best Actor. The actor was the guy from
Bohemian Rhapsody. Rami Malek won for Best Actor.
All right, good. Yeah. He also got the Golden Globe, so that's nice. Best Actress went to Olivia Colman for The Favourite. Best Supporting Actor to someone I've never heard before from The Green Book.
Mahershala Ali.
Best Supporting Actress was Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk, another movie I've never heard of. Best Cinematography, Roma. God, what a boring Oscars. As if the fact that they didn't have a host wasn't the worst thing. Now they've also got the most crappy movies that have ever been seen.
No, not, I mean, you know, I really thought Glenn Close should have won for The Wife. That was a great movie.
Yeah.
We saw this. Did you see A Star Is Born? It was pretty good.
No.
Or did you think it was too sappy, Gareth?
Yeah, not for me.
Yeah, I didn't think so. We'd have to give you a good history, you know, movie to win the Oscars for you to even, you know.
So you watched the, I mean, I'm impressed that you watched them because everybody was saying the ratings are down and down and down year on year. This year they couldn't find a host because no one can tell a joke because everything has to be politically correct.
No. You know, there was a big controversy on the host. And he had said something homophobic many, many years ago. What was the guy's name?
I can't remember. Kevin Hart.
Who was? Yes. And he didn't apologize later. And then they wanted him back, and he said, "Hell no!" And he had to take a stand. And so there wasn't a host. It was pretty boring, though. It really was. But you know, I love the glitz. I like the celebrity. That's one of them on my bucket list to do.
Okay.
One Emmys and one Oscar. Yeah, I'm working on it.
All right.
I'm going to be there. I'll host for you all when I get there.
Beautiful. Well, Deb, it's nice to catch up with you. We'll speak again soon. I just thought it would be.
I hope you all are well, and when you come into DC. Yeah, you're supposed to come and see me.
That's the golden question. We'll make it happen soon, Deb.
I hope so, and we'll have a great time on the Hill. I'll introduce you to everybody, and stay with me. We'll have a blast.
Fabulous.
Gareth, when are you coming?
I'm coming when I'm invited by Nancy.
Oh, I'll get that invitation for you. Take care, everyone.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
All right, what's going on in the news? Let's get stuck in. First things, the Oscars are underway.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone care? Ben, do you care?
Not right now, Gareth. No.
Okay. Right.
No. Well, I mean, we've covered the basics.
Mm-hmm. I'm just happy about Rami Malek. That is one movie I saw. The rest I haven't seen at all.
You'll see that your girlfriend Charlize Theron is sporting a new hairdo.
Oh no, she looks like a Danny. Mm-mm.
You think so? She's got a short black bob.
Oh my! Well, it's the dress. I think it's the powder blue dress that doesn't show any sort of skin. She looks like she's converted religion.
The whole back is open.
And then she's wearing some
pearls. What are you talking
about,
Sia? The whole back is open.
No, you need to look at it from the front. The sleeves are long.
I'm going to defend her, even though I haven't seen the dress.
Yeah. Go ahead. Please do.
This is so typical Sia in his misogynistic ways, though.
Yes.
Remember when you had that tirade against Michelle Obama because she showed too much skin on a show?
Yeah. No, she wasn't showing too much skin. She had just had longer hair.
Basically, Sia wants to be the Taliban. He just doesn't know how to get.
Doesn't know the direction.
No, I just want to consult people on looking fabulous all the time and not looking like a dunny.
Did you just say El Shasia?
Yeah. Charlize Theron is only 43 years old, and here you are calling her a dunny.
Y'all, I need to find a picture that I saw. It didn't look nice. But the Oscars actually did survive this year without a host. They did a few gimmicks just to pass the time. But
there were still people presenting the awards.
Yes. And they ended up having Julia Roberts actually close the entire evening out. She was the one who came out at the end and said good evening to everyone. Well done to all the award winners, and thank you so much for watching. So,
well, no one did, so I don't know who she was thanking. We'll take your word for it, Sia.
Yeah,
even the bloggers whose job it was to watch the Oscars fell asleep.
Leanne, you found the photo of Charlize.
She looks great. I don't know what you're talking about, Sia.
Are you guys blind?
Are you just mean?
Though? I have consulted with Stevie Wonder on this one. Even he can see that is a bad outfit. Oh, no.
All right, okay. All right.
Oh, no.
Well, the Oscars may not have survived, but there's a story about this kid who got decapitated on a ride. Now, this is terrible because I love rides.
This happens from time to time, though. This isn't a very unique story.
Wait, is that a segue? Did he survive? Did the kid survive?
No, he did not survive. Oh, man. He was literally decapitated.
Yeah, decapitation is a tough one to bounce back from.
Yeah, yeah. There's not a high survival rate. Yeah.
So the judge has dismissed charges in this little boy's capitation.
Decapitation. If it was capitation, then he would have grown a new head.
No, I can't. I can't do the story seriously after that.
Well, he's dead. Had time to get over it, so you go ahead and joke it up, Leanne.
Prosecutors had submitted improper evidence, so that's why that happened. But this ride is known as, it's in Germany. It's known as verrückt, which means crazy or insane.
Fucked.
Yeah. And it was marketed as the world's tallest water slide in the world. So riders climbed 264 steps to the top before sitting in a raft that plummets and soars over crests on its way to the runoff. Yeah. So it's, the chute is covered in netting, but the netting is supported by metal poles so that the riders wouldn't fall off. But riders sometimes struck the netting or the poles. And some injuries had already occurred.
Hang on a second. So riders sometimes struck. So it was still carrying on despite frequent striking.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Offset poles.
So they had already occurred many times by the time Caleb Schwab, age 10, got into a raft with two other riders.
Ow, stop, stop. I can't breathe.
So his raft soared over one of the crests. He was tossed toward the netting and he hit a metal pole and was decapitated.
Well, what a euphoric moment to go in.
Excuse me?
Well, think about it. Your adrenaline is high. You're excited. You're on a ride. How old is a kid?
10.
Yeah, 10-year-olds doesn't get much better than a ride like that. Super exciting. And then clunk.
He was the son of Scott Schwab, who's a former Republican state senator who recently took office as the Kansas Secretary of State.
Oh, so he was in Germany on this ride?
Yeah.
Sure.
And he had his two sisters were with him in the raft.
Because that's like the Kennedy assassination, because suddenly you look to your left and your loved one's head isn't quite there.
And you got like blood all over your pillbox hat.
Yeah.
And the company's Schlitterbahn. Yeah.
That's a terrible name, by the
way. They've had to pay out a whole lot of people for injuries.
Well,
Caleb's family got $20 million.
I would say the Schlitterbahn. You better tidy up your rides and make sure they're safer. Oh. Schlitterbahn. How are you still in business?
Maybe they should be called Shittybahn.
Mm.
You say it's a way to go, but I'm thinking about who has to clean it up now.
You get people who do that.
Oh, you have to.
That's a job.
Recover
I'm all
the
about
head.
Growing the economy,
no,
but.
There isn't a robot taking over that job anytime soon, is there?
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
The smush and... never mind. Okay.
All right. A guy in California spent 39 years in prison for a double murder that he didn't commit.
Yeah.
Now,
39
these
years.
These stories make me so cross. I get cross when I hear about these people who are wrongfully accused and then they go to jail. I don't know why. I can't even watch them in a movie. It upsets me too much.
It's deeply upsetting. He spent 4 decades in prison.
39 years. Madiba had 27.
Yeah. He's 71 years old now. But everyone seems to agree, including Simi Valley, which is the place.
The park with rides?
No, it's the place that gets you out of jail and then gives you money.
Oh.
So he's going to live the rest of his life as a wealthy man. He's been given $21 million for...
By Simi Valley? That sounds like a good place to work.
Yeah. it's the city.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, that's the jurisdiction he was accused and charged.
Yeah, it's a silver lining, but ultimately you're old, you're rich, but you're so scarred from being in prison for so long.
No, 4 decades. You don't know what's going on in the world. I mean, if you'd spent close to 40 years in prison... You don't know what anything is. You haven't had a cell phone.
I don't know
about social media. Like
consensual intimacy.
Yeah,
it's just certain things that it's just going to be an absolute. Like, what do you do?
And he's wrongfully accused, so he didn't do anything to deserve this prison time, and he had to spend 40 years in jail. And then he gets out, Sure, he's got money, but this just proves that money isn't everything.
Yeah, I'm not being greedy, but I don't think 21 million is enough. Well, for 40 years, imagine what 21 million gets you. What? Really, let's say he wants to live his life to make up for almost 40 years. A mansion or two, then he like splurges a bit. No, 21 million isn't enough for me. I need at least 80 million.
Then you got to go to jail for 50 years.
For what? No, he needs to substantiate properly. If that was the
bargain, I mean, think about it this way. If that was the bargain, let's say you get 20 million if you've been wrongfully accused and put in jail for 40 years. If you 50 years, you can have 40 million. If you are in for 60 years, you get 80 million.
So
it's still not enough.
Wait,
could one do this voluntarily?
Yeah, I imagine.
That'd be the next step, yeah.
How much
would you get paid to spend that much time in prison?
What an awful bargain, because I can promise you, if you spend 60 years in jail and you get out at the age of 90, or let's say you get locked up when you're 20, you're 80 when you get out, spend 60 years in jail, and I give you $80 million, it's still, the amount is inconsequential.
Yeah.
You could give me all of Jeff Bezos's money. But if I've spent 60 years of my life behind bars and I don't know anything about the world outside, I've forgotten who I am. Maybe people stopped visiting me in the first 10 years.
Exactly. Who are you going to leave this money to?
Your family has died.
No one knows. Oh. No one cares. You're on your own. It's like being an alien. Oh, that's horrible. No, there's no amount of money you could give me to make me feel better.
So
I'd be pissed off.
This 39 years is the longest prison term overturned in California.
What a guy.
And even though the city manager has said, while no amount of money can make up for what happened to Mr. Coley, settling this case is the right thing to do for him and the community, because going to trial would be costly and irresponsible. So he was incarcerated in 1978 for the murders of Rhonda Wicht and her four-year-old son, Donald. And it turns out it wasn't him.
I'm sure he had lost hope at that point.
Yeah.
But imagine you sitting in jail, in court, forget about jail. You're in court and they say, you're guilty of murder. Boom. And you realize, uh-oh, I didn't do this. But these lawyers have been so crap. The lawyers should go to jail with you if they find out that you're actually, I mean, Ben always says that ultimate responsibility for a bad kid has to go to the parents, right?
Yeah.
And those parents should spend jail time just like the kid does. If your kid is convicted of something antisocial or really dangerous, that you should go to jail with them. That's more or less your philosophy, right, Ben?
Yeah, exactly.
If it's your child. So I reckon if you've got shit lawyers who can't get you off on an obvious wrongfully accused charge,
they must have been in on it.
Then the lawyers should go to jail with you. How about that? Watch a whole lot of lawyers suddenly start a scramble.
Imagine having a family member knowing that they're innocent.
Oh, I would be
sitting in
heartbroken.
Jail. How frustrating, and just not being believed.
That's the worst. Oof. That's got to be the worst. All right, what is going on in your side, Sia?
Oh, staying with jail time and money problems. R. Kelly's in jail, folks.
He's gone to jail?
This happened over the weekend. He surrendered himself to authorities, and this is all, by the way, because he's indicted on 10 counts of aggravated sexual abuse against 4 victims.
What?
Mm-hmm. 3 of whom would have been underage.
Only 4?
At the time of the alleged
crimes. I thought
crimes.
He had like a long list like Bill Cosby.
Well, he has 40,000, but I guess these are the ones that we can count.
Our standard for sex predator has gone way up with Bill Cosby.
That you're expecting.
Yeah, now if you've only abused 4 people, you're like a small fish.
Oh, that's nothing. Know? Bill Cosby was worse. Yeah.
Bill Cosby had 20 times that. Well, I'm in jail now. Can't see in front of my face.
Oh, man. But I say money problems, because his bail was set at $250,000. And R. Kelly can't pay that, guys. His money is tied up in 40,000 different things. And he can't even produce what is enough to get the bail process going, which is $100,000. He can't even produce that. So as of right now, R. Kelly is still in prison.
Wow. Because he can't afford the bail, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And now...
That's pretty terrible.
His lawyers are actually speaking out on his behalf. They say that it's a shame that his client really doesn't have any money at this point due to what they say is mismanagement, hangers-on in his life, and also bad deals. He added that ultimately, Kelly would be able to come up with the required $100,000. He's still trying to get it together, but just not right now. Because now we know that R. Kelly owes thousands in the song.
I'm in jail. I'm a rapist. And I have got no money. And I've been locked up. I'm a rapist. And I'm in jail.
Yeah, that's right.
I was really trying
to keep it going on.
But it's... This is the big irony to me with R. Kelly. He would release these massive spiritual kumbaya songs, you know. Yeah. I can make it. I believe I can fly. I love you. You're an angel. Right. And then he'd go home afterwards and rape pee on a little girl.
Yeah.
Alas.
Gross.
I'm just...
Son of a bitch.
Putting it out there. Yeah. So as of February the 6th, it's also come out that he owes more than $169,000 in child support that he hasn't paid yet. He doesn't make the monthly payments of about $20,000. He's about to be evicted in one of his studios because he owes more than $166,000 in unpaid rent. So it's just money problems galore. So in being able to try and put all of this cash together to pay for his bail, seems like a bit of a stretch, but R. Kelly, for now, just enjoy your
What's
time
What's amazing
in jail.
Is a guy like this earned millions. I mean, R. Kelly was a seriously successful recording artist, and he put out tons of albums and made loads and loads of money. And he did performance after performance after performance. He must have had a huge bank balance at one stage. But as the article that C is telling us, this is typical. I hear this happening all the time. These really, really successful people who end up with hangers-on. And they just waste money. The money's gone. It's shocking. I mean, it's not as shocking as the fact that the guy's been convicted or basically sent to jail and has to await his fate for all the horrible things that he's done during his life. He's such a creep.
But by the way, just a bit of a correction. The total bond, which is the total bail money that he needs to pay, is $1 million.
So he couldn't find $1 million, and he's easily made 50 times that in his life, right?
Can't do that.
He certainly couldn't find a friend that had $1 million. Nobody will touch that guy.
Nah.
So then his lawyers are really trying to make the legal system work on his behalf by saying, okay, can we at least pay a percentage for each of the four victims, which is now coming up to $100,000, and they still can't pay that.
Hey, can we talk about Jussie Smollett for a second? We started speaking about him last week.
How do you say his name? Because I'm hearing Smollett.
Jussie Smollett.
Who says Smollett?
I heard Smollett.
That's Jussie Smollett.
Juicy Smollett.
And I've heard Jussie Smollett and Jussie Smollett.
Or just the loser from Empire. I mean,
the guy who you didn't even know existed before all of this shit.
Oh, well, I'm still... I don't want to be the guy who's known for liking creeps and weirdos, so I'm not going to comment on the fact that I did find him cute, just like
that's
Henry
von Bredow. That's fine.
You can find him cute.
That's also fine, but there's no doubting what a douchebag he is, though.
Okay, yes.
So here is the police chief of Chicago talking about what he thinks of Jussie Smollett. He does not think he's cute.
Our actor, Jussie Smollett, took advantage of the pain and anger of racism to promote his career. I'm left hanging my head and asking why. Mm-hmm. Why would anyone, especially an African-American man, use the symbolism of a noose to make false accusations? How could someone look at the hatred and suffering associated with that symbol and see an opportunity to manipulate that symbol to further his own public profile? How can an individual who's been embraced by the city of Chicago turn around and slap everyone in this city in the face by making these false claims? Smollett paid $3,500 to stage this attack and drag Chicago's reputation through the mud in the process.
He's cross.
Oh, dear.
So here's what's happened. A couple of updates for you. So the guy faked the whole thing. It's now come out that the he paid these two Nigerian brothers to go and buy a piece of rope to make this noose. He paid them only $3,500.
But he paid them with a check.
Yes, he paid them. What a moron. Okay. So he paid them with a check, which Trevor Noah took the piss out of.
If he's watched any movies, he knows not to do that.
Mobsters, gangsters, you always pay cash. You never leave a paper trail. And this guy is just clearly completely round the twist. He's not well. He's a troubled human being. He wanted apparently to get a raise on the show, and he realized that, you know, these days being a victim carries with it some cachet. So he wanted to cash in on being a victim by staging his own supposed racist attack at the hand of MAGA hat wearing Trump supporters. So now he's pissed off. First of all, the real victims of race and homophobic attacks, and there are some, and they're all pissed off because they're like, well, ours is not fake, and now you're making ours look stupid, because people are going to say whether they're good people or bad people's up for debate, but people are going to say, oh, maybe this one's not true.
Yeah,
cry wolf, you know. Then you've pissed off the Trump supporters who said, hey, we didn't even do anything. What are you bringing us into this for? We didn't do anything, and we're not even in Chicago. Then you've got the liberals and the Democrats who were tweeting, oh my God, this is a modern day lynching. You know, the front runners in the Democratic race, Kamala Harris and Cory Booker and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and these people who've said, oh my God, this is so terrible. Jussie, we're so sorry. Turns out he was pulling the wool over their eyes as well, so they feel like idiots. And then you've got the liberal media who also mainstream fake news media like CNN, Don Lemon, who was talking about how he was tweeting with Jussie, and, you know, he really feels for him. He's just checking, is he okay? Then he's got egg on his face because he finds out that the whole thing was staged, made up. And there's another group that's pissed off. The two Nigerian brothers. They only got $3,500.
Yeah, they didn't get a
earning,
sweet deal.
This guy's earning like $100,000 an episode of Empire.
And they gave Nigerians a bad name. Oh,
yeah.
Hold on.
No, hang on. Oh, man. What? Yeah, it's just such a disaster.
Well, Jussie has now been kicked off Empire.
Well, he went to the set, as I heard, because I was fascinated by the story. I just find it fascinating that people would make some shit like this up. There's enough bad stuff in the world for you to not have to make this up, especially if you're a protected elite actor in a very successful TV show who gets paid way too much.
$60,000 a week, apparently.
To pretend for a living. Right. So it's just weird. I've been following this thing with huge, almost like a macabre obsession. Like I can't get enough info about this. So he went to the set and he addressed everybody. And he said to them, I am innocent. And he cried a lot. He cried a lot. Said he was very, very emotional about this. People don't believe him. Why would he make this up? And now he's had to be arrested. So they took him in.
Terrence Howard believes him. Terrence plays Lucius Lyon and says, only God can judge him.
Yeah.
Sure, let's go with that. But the team behind it, you know, Lee Daniels, who's put it together and has said, in order for us to move on as a production and to avoid any more drama, we have decided to take Jussie off the last two episodes of the season.
So they'd already filmed those episodes. They had to cut his character out.
I don't
out.
Think they have, okay. But they'll just cut the character out.
What a disaster. You want to say something,
surprised.
Ben?
No, actually, I don't.
You have nothing to say.
I just love fact, though, that R. Kelly and Jussie Smollett were in the same institution.
Oh, God, were they both locked up in the same place?
Their mugshots have got the exact same background. Oh,
you can tell because one of the bricks in the mugshot has like a little indentation somewhere.
Yes.
So they were both... Oh, wow.
I think it's just a timing thing, though. Jussie, I think, was in jail on Thursday and was out by the time R. Kelly rolled around on Saturday.
Either that or it was a Photoshop thing.
What? Well, they're both in Chicago. It makes sense.
Okay.
I would have loved to be a fly on the wall in that prison cell if they were stuck together.
Well, you'd be famous because everyone's looking at that wall now.
It's like, what's the conversation?
I wonder if people are going to go and find that wall just so that they can make themselves notorious.
Well, what do you say? Do you walk into jail like, hey, can I just take a selfie there?
All right.
What it's exactly.
Okay. What else is going on, Leanne?
So, don't look now, but your seat back entertainment system on the plane might be able to chronicle your suffering in economy class. Somebody found saw a little camera doodah, forward-facing camera.
Oh, no.
Just under the screen of his entertainment system.
Oh, please don't say it.
That was on Singapore Airlines. So he tweeted, just found this interesting sensor looking at me from the seat back on board Singapore Airlines. Any expert opinion on whether this is a camera? Perhaps at Singapore Air could clarify how it's used. So the airline responded several hours later with a confirmation that there are indeed lenses pointed at its passengers, and they've promised that they're not turned on. So apparently there are many planes, or what are they called? Airlines, that's it. Many airlines across the world who use the same in-flight entertainment system. So it's got these built-in little cameras. They're not turned on, apparently, but they are there for future use. So they're looking at things like having a conference call with someone who's in another seat on the plane. And that sort of thing.
Yeah, but I don't like the idea that there's some camera looking at me while I'm suffering in economy class.
Yeah.
I don't want a camera on me, okay? If I didn't ask for a camera on me, don't put a camera on me.
United Airlines has also said its cameras on the flights are not activated. So there's probably no devious intent.
You know, believe them.
A whole lot of airlines are just not getting out of the controversy soon enough. They should have told us first, I think.
Tell us, you rat bastards.
So now people are saying they're going to pack post-its in their bags to put onto the
Wouldn't mind a device that can pick up when people fart on those long-distance flights, because that's disgusting.
Like a big arrow unrolls from the top and points at the person.
It points at them, and then you can go, oh, you're disgusting.
Yeah, like, you know, you know when you roll into those big car parks, you get like green lights and orange lights ahead of the thing if you can go in? The moment you fart, a red light goes on, like it beeps.
And everyone can look around and go, oh, so it's you.
Or they can put some sort of chemical in the air that your farticles turn green or something, and there's this big green puff of smoke.
That sounds like a lot more work than just making a substance that would kill the smell.
Your farticles?
You don't know about those?
Thanks, Professor Moll.
Yeah, they exist. That's why you have to wear clothes in the kitchen. When you're cooking.
What?
Oh, is that the reason?
Yes. Don't otherwise accept food from a naked chef.
Otherwise, we'd all be frying stuff with our junk hanging out.
Mm.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's natural.
Sure, of course, if you say so.
Ew.
Yeah, there's apparently a 12-year-old who built a fusion reactor in his playroom.
I was wondering if it was you.
No, please, I'm not 12 anymore, but I wish it was.
So what, a fusion reactor, is that nuclear power?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
So this 12-year-old kid from Tennessee.
Does America know about this?
I'm sure he's been arrested and processed. We'll never hear from him again.
It happened back in January last year, but it's all come up again. So he created this nuclear reaction in his family's playroom. That makes him the youngest known person to have done so.
Jesus.
His achievement has now been recognized.
So what did he do? I'm fascinated.
I mean,
such an underachiever.
It's got to do with splitting atoms.
Yeah, but that's
That's
not an easy thing. You can't just do that. I mean, the reason they build these huge nuclear power plants is because it requires some very, very specialized equipment.
Apparently, it wasn't dangerous because his device couldn't be repurposed as a bomb. They checked that out because everyone was saying, oh, it's deadly and all of that.
Well,
but apparently not. But he's now been recognized by the Open Source Fuser Research Consortium.
All right, them.
Which is a group of nuclear hobbyists.
There's a woman called Geraldine.
Yes.
Oh,
and
Geraldine?
The kid's name is Jackson Oswald. Yeah. So, I mean, he's now 14. He built a machine that creates a plasma in which nuclear fusion occurs. Crushing atoms together to form heavier atoms.
That's bloody amazing. That is absolutely incredible. This
is a great CV he's already got.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I mean, he's going to go far. I think people will
So he
take him under their wing, you know.
He bought $10,000 in spare parts from eBay.
Oh, goodness.
At 12 years old, his parents are giving him a pretty big checkbook
to
chase down his hobbies. The machine was built from customized vacuums, pumps, and chambers bought on eBay. I mean, this is a hell of a... you got to see this equipment to believe it. Apparently, his contraption smashes together atoms. I mean, I couldn't build this now if I tried. Information on how to build the machine was found online. And on January the 19th last year, hours before his 13th birthday, he achieved...
Birthday.
He achieved nuclear fusion. Previous record for the youngest successful mastermind behind a nuclear fusion reactor was held by Taylor Wilson, who achieved it at age 14.
You know, having a kid behind closed doors, you don't know what they're doing. I think I'd rather have him watching porn than building nuclear reactors.
Okay. Sure. He says he started the process by just learning what other people had done with their fusion reactors.
Yeah, because it's such a simple process.
After that, he said, I assembled a list of parts I needed. I got those off eBay primarily, and often the parts I managed to scrounge off eBay weren't exactly what I needed. So I'd modify them to do what I needed to do for my project. Deuterium gas, which is an isotope of hydrogen, is heated in a plasma core with 50,000 volts of electricity within a vacuum chamber to force the atoms together. Good heavens!
I don't know how much electricity that is, but surely that'll rack up the bill.
A lot. 50,000 volts of electricity? Well, that volts is potential difference. I don't know if that's hard to do.
My head
I think
is
current,
to hurt
if you're
again.
Using 50,000 amps of current, that would be insane, but... that's amazing. What a brilliant kid. Of course, we'll never hear from him again.
He's
locked away in some secure facility and taken away from his parents. But wow, parents who will spend that much money letting their kid chase down their hobby, that's either just brilliant parenting and...
or they've got the same interests.
Maybe
they're scientists.
Maybe, or else they just didn't know what he was doing and kept giving him money just to shut him up. You know, like some parents put on cartoons.
$10,000?
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. So,
do they ever walk into the room and go, hey, son, how's that science project of yours coming along? Do you need some food coloring? And he's like, oh,
where's the volcano part?
You keep getting calls from Iran. You have new friends. Ayatollah Nakhbata is on the line again asking about how the fusion reactor is coming along. I told him, I don't know what you're talking about, Ayatollah Nakhbata. Something else. That's...
and by the way, folks, it's almost a week since someone in South Africa has won the Powerball.
Yeah, what happened?
Because
this person
is still
won,
not
like,
claimed.
200 million or something?
232 million rands.
God, I wonder if
there's
got
to be a better system to this, man.
No, sorry, Gareth. It's someone in the Western Cape. Oh, that's what we know so far.
Yeah, came from a specific machine that now people are going to buy tickets because they believe it's lucky.
You've just put your phone down so unimpressed, Gareth. You were going to check. Sorry.
I'm so excited.
We just crushed your dreams.
Let me just
there.
Listen to something inspirational to get me back in the vibe. From that mountain peak up high, hey, I made it. I'm the world's greatest. I'll convince myself. And I'm that little bit of hope. When my back's against the ropes, I can feel it. Yeah, okay, I feel better now. Thanks,
Ari Kelly.
Okay,
at least you do. So the winner has 1 year to claim their prize. And
imagine if you win the lotto and you die of a heart attack because you're so excited. And then no one knows. And your ticket.
What a way to go.
Yeah. I mean,
I'd rather have that than the theme park decapitation.
Yeah, that's the lesser of the two evils.
At least you would have had that... 2 seconds before the heart attack would have been absolute bliss.
You know what my app told me the other day? I won 50 rand. That's what I won on the stupid thing.
At least. How much did you spend initially?
About 100.
Oh, never mind.
No, it was
you
that Powerball thing. And someone said to me, oh, you've got to get a ticket even though it's stupid. And it is stupid.
It's not stupid if you're the 232 million rand winner.
The lottery it's a trap. It's like any other gambling. You're one of the people who's contributing to it. You're not the winner.
Mm.
One person, if they're lucky, like this idiot who hasn't claimed it yet, is the winner. You're not going to be the winner.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I was speaking to my dad about the tax aspect of it. And obviously he won't be taxed on the winnings, but he will be taxed on everything he does with that money. So if he wants to give it to someone, there's a huge tax attached to it. If he wants to buy someone a house, all of that sort of thing.
Oh, shit.
Because I've got a life of bad all tax.
All I got here is on the 14th of February, this is after the draw, right? Your Lotto multi-draw ticket has expired. Use the history replay function to play the same numbers. Winnings will be deposited in your account. There are no winnings! That's the last
Someone won 16,000 Rand at the same machine before.
Sorry, I just need to refill on some inspiration.
I am a giant.
Yeah.
I am an eagle.
Oh,
I am a lion.
I've got enough.
So the lottery,
me through the day.
The lottery does say, though, this is quite frequent, where there's a huge sum of money and it's not claimed, because some people who are in the habit of playing some sort of lottery very often are in the habit of like checking their tickets every 6 months or so. So maybe this person doesn't even know and has like this huge stack of tickets and will only check them in a couple of months. But this is what happens if a year goes by and it's not claimed. Goodness knows that the beneficiaries are really looking forward to someone not claiming this money, because the money will go straight to charity. 232 million rands will possibly go to a charity in a year's time if it goes unclaimed.
I was wondering what happened.
Okay.
Well. And this actually happened before in South Africa. Once someone didn't claim an amount of 28 million rands.
Oh.
And it went straight.
Drives me crazy that there's that money sitting there and no one's claimed it.
Yeah, so
I mean, good for the charities, but that's insane. How much is up for grabs this time?
232 million rands. I need to call up all my friends in Cape Town. Like, yo, did you play the lottery?
Yeah.
Do you know someone who played the Powerball?
Like, I'm going to tell you something, and if the answer is yes, then I get half.
Okay.
Yeah.
Imagine. All right. Well, be nice to anyone you know in the Western Cape. You never know.
Yeah, pick up any sort of paper on the streets. It might be a lot of tickets.
Yes, could be.
With the winning numbers.
Can we wrap up with some animal stories?
Oh, yay.
Interesting ones. Are there animals getting revenge on people stories?
Because we love those.
No, not really.
Okay.
But in Estonia, there was, obviously it gets very cold there.
Hmm.
And this guy, he rushed to the defense of a dog who seemed to be in a frozen river.
Oh, yeah?
Remember, I had this story recently about that cat who froze and
then thawed him
and it's living again. So this guy and a couple other people, they take this dog from the river.
Uh-huh.
It's frozen. They take it to the vet. The dog thaws out. Turns out it's a wolf.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
It's like, you go back in there, Wolfie.
So they had this wolf, a young wolf. They're like, oh, okay, so not a dog.
Thank goodness he didn't thaw in his back in the back seat of the car.
Yeah. Anyway, he seems quite chill. And you remember our favorite sort of gangster slash drug dealer, El Chapo?
Yes, who's been convicted.
Well, yes, but now there's El Chompo. So there's been this drug bust in America where this alligator was like used to actually sort of guard the stash of.
There's a crocodile that's been looking after El Chapo's money.
It's been looking after a stash of heroin. Fentanyl, crack cocaine, marijuana, as well as $5,000 in cash.
El Chompo?
El Chompo has been guarding the stash for these sort of like entry-level drug dealers in Pennsylvania. But yeah, they made a bust and they found out all this stuff was around El Chompo's enclosure. And finally, PETA, they never liked Steve Irwin.
No.
I had no idea.
People for the ethical treatment of animals?
Oh, didn't they?
Yeah, they hated Steve Irwin.
Because he was interfering with animals.
He was interfering.
So Google, you know, Google often do these doodles where they celebrate something or like anniversaries or whatever.
Yeah.
So they had Steve Irwin with a crocodile last week. So Peter's like, Steve Irwin was killed while harassing a ray. He dangled his baby while feeding a crocodile and wrestled wild animals who were minding their own business. Today's Google Doodle sends a dangerous fawning message. Wild animals are entitled to be left alone in their natural habitats.
Sure, they are humorless.
I actually watched the Irwins on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's the wife and the son and daughter. And the son is actually, his name's Robert. He features on, I think it's Jimmy Fallon's show.
Yeah, he's just like his dad.
He's an animal handler.
Yeah.
And the daughter's really beautiful. She's Bindi Irwin.
Bindi, I've seen Bindi on TV too.
Yes. Huh? And yeah, they're doing good things.
Well, Peter says you can't just take exotic animals, including babies from their mothers, around to talk shows.
Oh.
Oh, well.
Take that.
Okay.
Peter, totally humorless. Oh, by the way, Clint from the Vol sent us that message from his girlfriend, but I can't play it for some reason. It doesn't play. So, Clint from the Vol, I'm afraid we're never going to hear your girlfriend talking about the Kardashians.
Oh, that one. Damn.
All right. Sorry. Say goodbye. All right. Coming up in a little while, we've got the second season of our interviews with lawyers at Flaxman's Attorneys, which is one of South Africa's leading law firms. We got to grips with some of the people there that make the wheels turn, that make the important legal cases and precedents happen. They're the people who will drop everything to help you solve your problems. And we talked to Trevor Simon today, who's a director in the litigation department there. We continue our series of going behind the desks of South Africa's smartest lawyers. You can stay tuned for that, or you can find the podcasts on cliffcentral.com or the app Behind the Desk with Flaxman's Attorneys. Don't forget all the series that you can get on cliffcentral.com as well, so you can go and find any podcast you like. You can even listen to Ben's sport from last week.
Yeah, I would suggest Monday, Wednesday, or Friday.
There we go, because that's all three.
All three.
That's right. Okay, and you're here on Wednesday and Friday again, Ben, just to let people
know. I am,
know.
Gareth, yes. I've got an interesting week ahead. I'll tell you all about it
all
then.
All right, very good. Leanne Moll's back tomorrow.
I am.
Sia's here every day this week.
Except for next week.
Yes, but we'll save that for next week, Sia. Yeah, that's right. Very exciting. So much going on. All right, that's all we got time for this morning. Let's wrap it up with the un-news. Here are the big stories that everyone's talking about that you need to know about today. Just for your listening edification and so that you can have conversations at work today that everybody will think, oh my God, that person is so well informed. Has the tax ceiling been reached in South Africa? Economically, yes, but the ANC are looking into a tax renovation so they can keep going up. They're confident they can finish building this by the next budget speech. The Academy Awards have just wrapped up and there has been mass outrage about the fact that there was nothing to be outraged about. The Safety First Oscars were so bland, people took to the award winners themselves to get angry. For example, Lady Gaga's Best Oscar Award was nothing, seen as nothing but white privilege. Rami Malek's had to remind people his family originally from Egypt, and he felt that he thought America, he was too American rather, to play Freddie Mercury. And finally, Robbie Fleck is in good spirits this morning under huge pressure to keep his job this season. Saturday's win over the Lions was a huge ego boost for him. He said that they were seconds away from another disaster, but thankfully Egon came through for them. He then wrapped up the interview by saying, "Once a stormer, always a stormer." All right, have an excellent day in the company of cliffcentral.com. Enjoy your Monday. Have a good start to the week. We will see you tomorrow, bright and early. Stick around for that next installment in our series with Flaxman's Attorney.
This is cliffcentral.com.